Welcome, I'm Cyrus Afshar, and this is the WIGO's Informal Economy Podcast, Social Protection. In this monthly podcast, we will discuss some of the most pressing issues related to the linkages between the informal economy and social protection, including debates around workers' health provision, pension schemes for older workers, as well as childcare systems and other social protection policies for informal workers in order to improve their livelihoods. And in this month, my colleague and WIGO's Social Protection Program Director Laura Alfers was in Thailand for the Association of Southeast Asian Nations People's Forum, or ASEAN People's Forum for short, where civil society organizations' representatives have gathered in Bangkok to prepare for the ASEAN Summit that will happen from 31st of October to November 4th, also in Thailand. The regional network of home-based workers, HomeNet Southeast Asia, hosted an event at the People's Forum on their flagship issue, Universal Health Coverage for Informal Workers. Laura was at that ASEAN People's Forum event, where she has met several of HomeNet Southeast Asia delegates and recorded an interview with Santari Sangin for this special episode of our show. Santari Sangin is the regional coordinator of HomeNet Southeast Asia. In this talk with Laura Alfers, she explains how the grassroots work of HomeNet has been carried out and will provide an overview of the universal health coverage policies in Southeast Asia. They also discussed some of the main challenges and policy advances in the region to include informal workers on healthcare provision schemes. And now, let's hear the talk with Santari Sangin and Laura Alfers.
Hi, today I am interviewing Santari Sangin from HomeNet Southeast Asia here in Bangkok. Hi, Santari, how are you?
Fine. Hi, Laura and everyone.
Santari, tell us a bit about HomeNet Southeast Asia. What is it? What is it trying to do?
HomeNet Southeast Asia is a network of home-based workers in five countries: Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia, Philippines, and Thailand. It's established nearly 20 years already, you know. And our objective is to increase the quality of life of home-based workers. That means their income security, the voice, and the social protection. That is the guarantee for them when they are in trouble. And also other issues as well, like organizing themselves. And the character of HomeNet Southeast Asia is member-based organization.
What does that mean, member-based organization?
Member-based organization is mean that everybody who would like to be a member, they have to apply and pay their year fee. We do like this because we would like to ensure about the ownership and also the democratic in our movement.
Okay. And can you tell me a bit about home-based workers? Who are these home-based workers that you're organizing?
Home-based workers, we mean, is two kinds of people. First is the people who work at home to produce their own things, like produce the food or their craft, and after that, they sell to the customers. We can say that they are self-employed. They are the owner of a small business. Some of them do it by their own self and their family. Some of them collect together as a group. This is one kind of home-based worker, self-employed, to be a little bit independent. The second type of home-based worker is home workers. Home worker is a person who get the job from the industrial sector, right? You sewing some part of the cloth, you be a part of their garment supply chain, and you produce this to receive their income, not salary, but it's a piece rate wages. And for this of group, even there they have employers, but they don't count as workers, so they are part of informal workers.
Okay. And why don't they have employers? Because they're subcontracted?
Yes, because they are in this subcontracting system.
Okay. Now, recently, HomeNet Southeast Asia decided social protection was going to be one of its key issues, its banner issue around which to organize in the region. And universal health coverage as a component of social protection has been a major focus for the last year. Why are these important issues?
Because home-based worker and others, group of informal workers, we are one among the poor people. It means that our income is not enough, it's under the poverty line, some of them. So when their income is very limited, they don't have the real income security. The social protection is important for them. If they're sick, how can they pay when their income is so few? And another social protection as well, because their income is not smart and they don't have the don't have the saving. So it means that in the future, when they are old and cannot work, they don't have their own account to take care of their health, even their living. So the pension is needed for them at that time. So it's why we said that for informal workers and for home-based workers, social protection is very important, especially about health. Because if you don't access the health care for free, it means that you have to pay a big amount of money. You have the money that you collect all of your life is not enough to take care of your sickness.
And so you think health is particularly important issue for informal workers?
Yes. Even social protection have many components, but health is the very famous one. Another reason is because when we work for informal workers, it's not any guarantee that the employer will take care of our sickness. Even that sickness is related to the work. Not the same story as the formal workers who go to the industry or factory. You know? For formal workers, the employer will take care of their sickness related to the work. But for informal workers, the employer don't take care on this. So their informal workers, their home-based workers, they have to pay from their own pocket. So this is the reason why we advocate for universal health coverage scheme that ought to be tax-based. It means that when informal workers go to the hospital, especially the state hospital, they ought not to pay from their own pocket.
And you've also been quite strong on pushing for occupational health services to be integrated into normal health systems. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
That is the thing that we would like to... when we said universal health care, someone thinks that it ought to prepare the provide the same service. But in fact, the good universal health coverage scheme ought to answer the specific need of each group. Like for informal worker, their phase of occupational and safety and health. So we think that will be better if the universal health coverage scheme care about the occupational safety and health of informal worker. At the same time, we have there like other group of people, like the women, the youth, the elderly. They have their specific needs. The universal health coverage scheme ought to answer the specific needs of people, include our informal workers as well.
You often say, though, that informal workers are forgotten in the health system. Why do you say that?
The universal health coverage scheme always provide only the common service, but they don't go in detail what is the real need of informal workers. Like I told you, occupational safety and health, and not only take care when they are sick already, but at the beginning how we promote the knowledge of health protection and promotion, health promotion and health protection. How this system distribute the knowledge for informal workers to make them aware how they will work with SAVE.
Have there been some good examples in the Southeast Asia region of governments extending health coverage to informal workers?
We can say at least now we have, among our five countries, you know, at least four countries already have this kind of system. First is in Thailand. We can say that we do it for long years, that universal health coverage scheme is cover every citizen. It means cover informal workers as well. And for Laos, they just start last year to have universal health coverage scheme. That means cover informal worker, but it's still their pilot project. They still need to develop it and turn to be national policy. The third city that, the third country that I would like to raise as example is Cambodia. 2-3 years before the Cambodian government start to have the health service, they call it equity program for informal workers who be a part of the poor to access the health service free of charge. The proof that the equity program cover is tuk-tuk driver, domestic workers, and the street vendors. So it means that these three groups are taken care by the Cambodian government to access the health care service. And for Philippines, just last year that the Congress of Philippines passed the Universal Coverage Bill, it means that in principle, the government okay to have this kind of service, this kind of health service, and they are on the process of make it practical. It means that they need to prepare their system, the mechanisms to make the real universal coverage scheme happen in Philippines.
And as a sort of general, some general principles, what do you think governments in the region need to think more about if they are really to reach informal workers and particularly home-based workers?
The healthcare is one. Other social security scheme is also ought to be in the government service. I mean, to prepare the system of others like a pension, even the child allowance. It means that we would like to ensure that every step or every type of risk are take care. This is about social protection. Another thing that important as well is how to protect them by the law. Labor law ought to provide for informal workers as well. At least they ought to have a minimum wage access in that law to guarantee that when the informal worker work the same kind of work, the same hours of work, they have to access the same wages of formal workers. We can say that this is a justice. No? It's the right to access this kind of justice. So social protection, healthcare service, the labor protection law. I think this is a start. We would like to see this.
Do you feel optimistic about the region and the way in which protections are being extended to informal workers? Do you see a positive movement forward in the region? Yeah.
Compared with last 10 years or 20 years, we come far already, you know. Because if we thinking about 20 years back, no one agreed that informal worker is a worker. They don't care that this group are workers, and they don't care that they have to prepare the right protection or the service for informal worker group, because almost all government of this region feel that the worker is mean only the person who go to the factory and go to the office. If you are work out of office, it means that you are a farmer or you be the employee but not worker. So I think we become far already. But to make it equal, the protection of informal right, the social protection for informal workers have to be developed until it equal to other group of workers like formal workers.
And if you want to learn more about the policies and struggle to extend health coverage for informal workers, we will leave some of the links on the description of the episode. HomeNet Southeast Asia and WeGo have prepared a publication for the Asian People's Forum with a summary of the relevant advances, challenges, and policy demands for informal workers' movements in order to achieve universal health coverage in the region. The publication is already available on WeGo's website, and we will leave the direct link for this material at the description of the episode. Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook to get WeGo's most recent updates, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. I am Cyrus Afshar, and this was the WeGo's Informal Economy Podcast, Social Protection. See you next month.